Today's reading begins in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And after 6 days Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Then why did the scribes say that first Elijah must come?" And he answered, "Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, and kneeling before him said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures, and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire, and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were greatly distressed. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2-drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Where we left off in our reading yesterday, Jesus had begun to tell them about his death and his resurrection, and Peter tried to rebuke him, and Jesus ends up rebuking Peter. And that leads us to where we began today, when Jesus began to tell them that if anyone would come after him, let him deny himself, take his cross, follow him, and if someone loses their life for his sake, they will find it. And in this, he makes a very, very important statement. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? This world is temporary, this world is fleeting, and it is only here for a time, but your soul is eternal. And why would you give up that eternal soul for something that is temporary? He also makes another very important statement in verse 28. There are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. This is important because it gives a timeline for them to understand that this was all going to happen very soon. After this is the scene of the Transfiguration, in which Jesus is speaking with Moses and Elijah and shines like the sun, his clothes very, very white. And it creates a sense of awe in these three disciples that went up on the mountain with him, Peter, James, and John. So much so that Peter begins to speak and says, "Let's build three tents." Now, I understand that Peter was trying to honor Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. But in this statement, he is elevating Moses and Elijah up to the point of Jesus. And so the silence of heaven is again broken in order to stop that line of thinking and to elevate Jesus to his proper position. And this voice from heaven states, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, there was a prophecy regarding Elijah, and this may be what prompted Peter to even make this statement. And he begins to ask, well, why do the scribes then say that first Elijah must come? And Jesus reveals to him, he must come, and he already did. And then they begin to understand that it was John the Baptist who came in the spirit of Elijah. If you're curious where that prophecy is, it's in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Then there is the boy with the demon that his disciples were unable to cast out, and Jesus relieves that boy of his oppression. And his disciples wonder why they were unable to cast him out, and Jesus said it was because of their faith. And in order to illustrate how important faith was, he tells them, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Of course, he's not speaking literally, but he's saying that a little bit of faith goes a long way, and they needed to work on their faith. Again, Jesus foretells his death and his resurrection, and this is very distressing to his disciples. And then there is the question about the temple tax. Does your teacher not pay the tax? This was to support the ongoing work at the temple, as well as the priests who were serving in the temple. But Jesus asks a very important question. From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax, from their sons or from others? In other words, the son of the king does not pay the tax. Now, the reason he asks this question is because he is the Son of God. And if that temple is there to honor and worship God, does the Son of God then pay tax? And, of course, the answer should be no. However, he says, in order to not give offense, he tells him, go and catch a fish, and the tax money will be in his mouth for him to give. It's provided miraculously. Finally, Jesus points out that if someone wants to be great in the kingdom of heaven, they must humble themselves and become like a little child. A child is not only humble, but they are also dependent, and they understand that they are dependent. They understand that their daily needs are provided by their parents. He says, unless you humble yourself, change your attitudes, and realize that you are dependent on God for your spiritual well-being and your spiritual life, then you will not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But if you do so, you will be great. And if anyone makes one of those humbled and dependent souls to sin, it would be better if they had a great millstone fastened around their neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. That concludes our reading. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.